this is what is known as the rapture. People say, well, you don't find the word rapture in the Bible. No, you don't find it in our English version. But you know, this expression, caught up, is taken from the Latin word from which comes our word rapture. There's where Bible scholars got that word rapture. And this word caught up has the thought of an instantaneous transition, an instantaneous change, an instantaneous taking out of this world. My friends, the dead in Christ rising and the changing and the catching up of the living into the presence of the Savior is not going to take any time. And when I say it's not going to take any time, I mean literally that. It's going to be in an instant. It's going to happen so fast that no human eye could follow it. No human camera could ever register it. And they've got some keen cameras that can measure down to a thousandth of a second and 10,000th of a second. But there isn't a camera that's going to be able to register this event. It's going to happen just so fast. That, my friend, is how fast this event may happen, and if you're not saved, that is how fast your day of opportunity may be gone. That very same instant that is going to take the Christian into the presence of the Savior is the very same instant that is going to doom and damn the unsaved person for all eternity. It's the Lord coming. He's coming as the Lord to raise the dead in Christ, to change the living, and to take them into His presence. Are you ready? Are you looking forward to this coming? I'm not going to speak about the 25th chapter of Matthew, because my time is slipping by, but I want you to know it's the 24th chapter. He speaks of his coming as a thief. He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. You know, the Bible speaks of a robber and a thief. What's the difference between a robber and a thief? Well, you know, a robber is a person that you see. A robber is a man that comes up to you and puts a gun in your ribs or sticks a knife in your ribs and says, give me what you've got. But a thief is someone that comes, you don't see him. I wonder how many of you are expecting a thief at your house tonight. You know, if you were expecting a thief at your house tonight, well, you wouldn't sit here so casually. You'd be doing something about it. Yes, you would, and I would too. But you know, a thief is going to call you up and say, listen, I'm coming over to your house tonight, and I'm going to take what I want. A thief comes unexpectedly. A thief comes when you're not looking for him. A thief doesn't stick around very long. And a thief comes with only one object. You know what that is? To get what you've got that's valuable. That's what he comes for. And my friends, that's what Christ is coming for. Christ is coming for that which is valuable. And only those who are His are valuable. He's coming only for His. And I want you to notice what it says here. If he had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You know, when a thief comes and he takes the valuables, he leaves things in a mess. He leaves things pretty well broken up. And my friend, when Jesus comes, things are going to be broken up. They're not going to be the same. They'll never be the same again. Loved ones will be gone. Families will be broken up. Friends will be broken up. There will be those who will be taken, and there will be those who are left. My friend, are you ready? Are you ready? If the Lord Jesus Christ should come tonight, let me ask you, and that door is shut, as we have it in Matthew chapter 25, the door was shut. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And there were five on the inside, and there were five on the outside. Let me ask you tonight, when that door is shut, will you be on the inside with Christ, or will you be on the outside without him? Are you ready tonight? Jesus is coming. It's certain. He's coming as the morning star. He's coming as the Lord. He's coming as the bridegroom. He's coming as a thief. Are you ready? Are you going to be one of those who are going to be broken up at his coming? Is your life going to be broken up when he comes? Your loved one gone and you left behind? Is that the way it's going to be? Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Would you turn your Bible with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does beseech mean? Well, it's a matter of usually a tender entreaty. That's the general concept of it. So in a very tender way, a pleading way, we beseech you, he says, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What really is making this beseech tender is the coming of Christ. He wants the coming of Christ on their mind. Now, he says, and by our gathering together unto him, as our brother Joe brought out, very clearly we're going to be caught up to meet our Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And of course, that passage concludes by saying, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now look what he says here. He says, I do not want you to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now please, try to think with me tonight. This was a letter that was sent out by Paul. Perhaps it reached there one afternoon. And some of the leaders of the local church in Thessalonica would get word out to all the family. And they said, tonight we have a letter from Paul. We're going to read it. So the candles were lit in the little place where they met, maybe in a home, perhaps in some little building that they had rented or whatever they were doing as far as a meeting place. And as they sat there that night, one brother read this letter in its entirety. When he got to this part, he says, I don't want you to be soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as in the day of Christ is at hand. For you see, some had begun to think that the Lord had not returned, that the day of Christ or day of the Lord was at hand. And he's going to contrast the coming of Christ in the air, which he talked about in the first letter, with the coming of Christ to the earth. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Now for our Lord to come in the air, absolutely nothing as far as we know on earth has to take place. He could come at any moment. Perhaps I'll not get through before the Lord comes in the air and we'll be gone. And remember, no holes in the ceiling. When he came into that upper room where they were gathered together, the doors were shut. No holes in the wall. When we leave here, no holes there. No clod busting out in the cemetery. But we're gone. We're changed in a moment, indeed. We're gone. What then? That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that men of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So what he's saying is, after you and I are gone, there's going to be an interlude of 7 years, approximately. According to Matthew 24, they're going to be cut short just a little bit, or no flesh will be saved at all. None. Don't you think that this stockpiling, atomic warheads, hydrogen warheads, just to collect dust? The hour is sharpening. When that stuff's going to be turned loose. And a conflagration like this world has never known. And the Lord Jesus indicated there was no flesh, F-L-E-S-H, no flesh, no physical life he saved, except he intervened and came back and cut that man's throat. And for the elect sake, he's going to do it. So the 7-year period, it looks like, may be short just a little.
But remember, the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord, and that's it, coming back in judgment upon this earth, consummating with it being manifest, where every eye shall see him, is not going to happen until there's a falling away first. And he says, that man of sin do reveal the son of perdition. And I take it this way. That the man that's going to take over is living at the time in which he's speaking of. And I personally believe, I'm saying this, I personally believe he's living tonight on the earth somewhere. I don't know who he is, don't know where he is, but I'm confident that he's a Gentile. The first beast that rises up in Revelation is the beast that comes out of the sea, the nation. The second rises up out of the earth. And in connection with that, there's an animal that was used very much in Israel in the sacrifice. I'm confident that the last is going to have the role and nature of a false prophet. And a lot of people today are predicting, and there's one woman especially that's predicted quite a few things that have come to pass. And people are getting into the idea and notion, look, prophecy is a pretty good thing. And the world is going to be set in such a position that it'll welcome a man who says, I can predict. The Antichrist, as he's sometimes referred to, though he's not called that here, he's called the man of sin, is going to do some tremendous things. Look what he says. He's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already worked on the evening now let us relent until he be taken out of the way. There is a divine restraint keeping this man from being revealed until the proper time. Beloved, that proper time is when God has safely gotten us out of this old world. We're going to be caught up like our brother Joe said. Then that man of sin is going to be revealed. So if we get caught up tonight, you be sure he's living and breathing tonight. Just waiting for his chance. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Here is his coming to the earth. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but that pleasure and unrighteousness. Now I want to come down and get real close to you tonight. In closing out this series of studies that we had together, in times of preaching the gospel, I did want to have a little fireside chat with you. There's one of two things you're going to receive from God, and everybody's going to receive from God. Everybody, I don't care who you are. All are going to receive from God. Welcome to deliverance. And that's true. First of all, Jesus Christ, he died for us as sinners. God did all of sin, we're all condemned. Oh, thank you, Lord, he died for me. He's going to send us deliverance, and deliverance is through that man. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Joel 2:32. It's repeated in Acts chapter 2 and Romans 10. So you're going to receive from the Lord a deliverance if you call upon the name of the Lord. Or you're going to receive from God a delusion. Which will it be? A deliverance is happening now. If Christ comes to your left, it's going to be a delusion. Look what he said. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned or condemned or destroyed. Oh, my friend tonight, how is it? How is it that you can reject the deliverer and receive the delusion? I can only think of one thing. One thing only can I think.
insanity. Oh, someone says, I don't like that, but I'm sorry. Can you imagine? A man on death row condemned to die in a state penitentiary? And the governor comes in and says, I'm going to communicate a pardon for you. All you got to do is rise up off of that bench that you're sitting on and walk out that door, a free man. Suppose he said, no, I'd rather die in the electric chair. What would you think? Insanity. Or some commensurate expression. God is offering a complete pardon to all sinners, no matter how much you sin. Or even how little did he sin. God is offering a full and free pardon. He says, I want to pardon you. I want to forgive you. I want to save you. I want to change you. I want to deliver you. He wants to do that. God is wanting to do that. And you're saying, no, God, I do not want it. All I can say is, insanity. Now, I'm going to defer to a passage of scripture. I kind of think you're going to agree with it. If I walked over to this door, and I said, oh, door, open up, door, please! I've got trouble. Those of you who have a Bible, please, please, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 6, right from the Bible, verse 14. And following. And the heaven departed, and the scroll, when he rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, give themselves, now notice, carefully please look at your life, or look on a neighbor's life. Give themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said, to the mountains and rocks. Here's the picture that's crying out, oh, rock, fall! You see that insanity? The rock says it was here. Let me tell you, no more insanity than you right now. Say, no, Jesus, I will not receive you as Lord. You are not going to be my Lord. I'm going to reject you and going to receive a delusion. I say that. That's insanity. You know what precipitated me? Sin is Lord. Glory to mind. If you reject Christ tonight, you're not saved. It could be that your mind is going to get farther and farther from any proper thought so that all you can perceive is an illusion and not a religion. Which will it be tonight? We're making an appeal to you if you've never been saved to receive the Lord Jesus tonight and today. Right there before the altar. Realize you're lost. That's intellectual. But it's more than that. It's emotional. And it's volitional. Realize that. Second, receive the word of God about how to be saved. A lot of people have a lot of thoughts about salvation. In many cases, there's only one way to salvation, and the Lord Jesus said, I'm that way. Repent of your sin. Repent. Repent for God. With God in you. Oh God, I'm sorry. I've changed my mind. And then, receive the Lord Jesus. Realize you're lost. Receive the word of God as to what it says about salvation. Repent. And receive the faith of your Lord. Want to do it? How can I do it? Simply, in your own heart, say, oh God, I know myself to be condemned and ruined, and I'm ashamed and sorry. I do not want to die in my sin. And I'm willing to take you at your word that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, that he rose again. At this moment, I'm receiving him of faith. I can't see him, I can't touch him, I can't even hear him as far as my physical ear, but I believe on him. Now the scripture says, as many as received him, as many as received him, to them gave he right to become the children of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. He, the moment you believe on his name, you receive.
For God's mercy.
Do you do that? We go to down here.
Look at the Lord's Prayer.
While I look down there, I just close. While you're thinking about the message that Brother Joe gave us concerning the rapture, the catching out of the thing, the coming of Christ in the air, just think, could be tonight, may not be, but could be. Perhaps tonight. What would you do if the Savior came? Would you go up to meet him in the air, or would you be left behind? We want to talk with you after the meeting. If you're not saved, and you're not certain about it, you'd like to talk with you. You'd like that visit. Now, we can't force this issue, we just say we'd like to. We're going to be available, Brother Joe's going to be at the back of the building, or really, it's literally in front of it, at the door. We'll go out, we'll be there, and I'll be here at the front part of the building. We would appreciate the opportunity of getting with you in the scripture to talk with you about salvation. If you're not absolutely sure that you're saved, it's a good time to check up now. If you know that you're not saved, but you want to be, we'd like to talk to you. Now, you can settle it while we're waiting. You can say in your own heart, Lord, I'm willing to receive you now. Mean it. The moment you do, out of a real broken heart over your sin and your lostness, you can believe on the Lord Jesus and you say right there. Then you'll want to confess it as Lord and be baptized and be received in fellowship. But now we're going to ask God to give help at this time so that you might be saved and all of us who are saved to be encouraged to press on because the time is short. Father, we're thankful for this time. For this meeting, for this dear assembly, inviting us here, that all of us have come hear thy word, and hear the voice of the Lord through the scriptures that are spoken and preached. Help us, our Father, first of all, as believers, to be serious about this matter of the salvation of others. If there's anything in our life that hinders, help us to be done with, to be rid of the contempt that is forsaken. Then, Father, as we find ourselves by thy grace, forgiven and cleansed, help us to be that voice and vessel we ought to be to those who are not saved. And for those who are not saved, we ask that even now they'll be calling upon the name of the Lord and receive eternal salvation. Now, God, we just commit ourselves to thee. Wait upon thee for victory and blessing, the worthy name of the Lord Jesus.